That's the music of Leonard Bernstein for a Friday morning right here on WDIY Classics, the Overture to Candide, the New York Philharmonic under the baton of the composer himself, Leonard Bernstein. That was brisk. If you enjoyed that, that will be the opening piece of music for a pair of concerts this weekend, Saturday, November 10th, 8 o'clock, Sunday, November 11th at 3 o'clock at Allentown Symphony Hall. Allentown Symphony Orchestra presents Americana with Mark O'Connor, and we're pleased to partner with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra presenting this pair of concerts. Grammy Award winner Mark O'Connor and the young violinist Kelly Hall Tompkins will perform O'Connor's double violin concerto along with the Allentown Symphony Orchestra. And they'll be celebrating a lot of great American composers. In addition to Bernstein, we'll hear Gershwin and Copland. And the Young Musician String Festival will also be on Sunday, November 11th. We'll have a couple of pairs of tickets to give away for this concerts or these concerts as we make our way through our program today. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis, and with me in the studio is the maestra, the conductor and music director of the Allentown Symphony Orchestra, Diane Witchery. And our soloists have joined us. Diane, welcome back. That was brisk.
Thank you.
I know you play music fast. Do you play it that fast?
I don't do it quite that fast. Bernstein is such a character, and you know he's just having a great time. You could just see the big grin on his face when he's conducting this piece. I don't go quite that fast, but we do play it quickly. It's a very, very exciting concert opener.
Great. Well, welcome to Mark O'Connor. Kelly Hall Tompkins, welcome to WDIY.
Thank you.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, it's thrilling that you are here and part of this this week. You guys, when did you guys get in town? Tuesday night?
Tuesday and Wednesday.
Tuesday and Wednesday. And so tell me a little bit about your experience in the Lehigh Valley. Now, this isn't just performing. You did a lot of educational stuff. How was that?
Kelly, you played this yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was great. I played the Vivaldi concerto, so a complete span of repertoire here, going 400 years here in Allentown, from Vivaldi to Mark O'Connor double concerto with the JSP Youth Orchestra, and we did that in a couple of schools, reaching out to the young people there. And also I did a master class with the students of the orchestra between performances. So it was really great to work with them at a mentorship kind of role and then extend that into, a little more mechanics with the master class. And
what was your experience as a child? When did you first pick up the violin?
You know, I picked up the violin as a result of exactly a concert such as I did yesterday. So that's why I think it's so important to do that. I started at 9. And I fell in love with the violin on my own. So I think there were a variety of influences that went into that were sort of the catalyst for my starting. And yesterday's experience was exactly like that. So I grew up Lutheran, hearing Bach in church. I grew up listening to Warner Brothers cartoons, which I think had that in the mix. I'd never realized I had perfect pitch at the time, but I would go to a keyboard and play some of the melodies and harmonies that I heard on television. And then the final catalyst, the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back, was having a trip to the local orchestra in Greenville, South Carolina, and followed by a string quartet that came to my elementary school. And I was absolutely smitten and decided really that day. I mean, up to that point, I'd wanted to be a computer engineer like my mom. But literally that day was the catalyst for saying, no, I want to be a violinist. And I had had all these ingredients going in there. I didn't really realize it until that galvanizing experience. So yesterday, I think, I hope to have had that kind of impact on at least one influential fiddle player or musician in the orchestra or in the audience, because it can be a very powerful, life-changing experience.
Yeah, we had parallel childhoods, except you're 20 years younger than I am. Tell me, now you grew up in South Carolina,
yes,
but studied in Rochester.
Yes, I went to the Eastman School of Music.
Now, growing up in South Carolina, you know, you were sort of trained in the classical tradition,
yes,
from childhood, but you grew up around fiddle music and kind of that sound. Was that part of your repertoire as a kid or a teenager?
It was not. I was not the least bit conversant, or so I thought, in folk styles of music. I was aware to a certain degree that there was a style of fiddle music that I really enjoyed, but I had no vocabulary to identify it specifically and to single that out of the vast arrays of American fiddle traditions. But one of my, and it was really not until Mark and I started working together that I realized that in my DNA, it's just literally in my bloodstream, is some of this fiddle music, you know, that was very much alongside, you know, in a lesser way because of my training, but it was present in my experience, the fiddle music. So I remember going with my youth orchestra to a retreat in the North Carolina mountains. We were in South Carolina, but right on the border of Asheville. And my youth orchestra spent a lot of time in Asheville playing at the Biltmore Estate. And also there was a retreat that we went to every summer. And I remember the local musicians coming to play the hammered dulcimer and the fiddle music. And I didn't realize it was old time music that I was hearing that I just really fell in love with. And anywhere that sound, you know, I would kind of hone in on that sound. But it was obviously not a major player in my training at all. It was actually not at all part of my training. But I pride myself as being a rounded musician that really can interpret music, a broad array of music. You know, I've used my classical training to do that, but really my classical training has allowed me to allow to give voice to all of the influences that are part of my DNA.
Super. Mark O'Connor, your background is sort of, I don't know if it's the opposite, but it's a little different. And my impression is that your roots are actually in bluegrass and the folk tradition, and then you were classically trained after that. Is that how that worked, or how did it work for you?
Classical first.
Oh, classical first.
Yeah, for 7 years.
In Washington State.
Washington State. And then I had some kind of intervention with the same kind of music that Kelly had seen when she was a kid. I saw it, though, since I was growing up in Seattle, Washington, it was not really prevalent in our community at all. I mean, you nobody would even have heard the name bluegrass, that title. But I actually saw it on television, on PBS, and I was just blown away. I saw fiddling, I saw jazz, and I got involved in jazz, too, right away. So started fiddling when I was 11, 13. I got really into Stephan Grappelli. And then I ended up touring with Stephan Grappelli when I was 17. And so I came out of the hatch as a sort of a typical classical young musician. Didn't know how far that was going to take me, but I got completely immersed in American music by the time I was 11. So I've used that sort of eclectic package of training and experience in my career, in my compositions.
Did you find Stephan, or did he find you? How did that come about?
Well, my first teacher, Benny Thomason, who was the great Texas fiddler, he sort of spotted me. But Stephan and I actually auditioned for his group. And it was in San Francisco, and I was 17. And I played guitar in the audition. And then he discovered I played violin right away. And I ended up playing twin violin pieces with him. Then I went from there to the dregs, from the dregs to my Nashville session career, where I played on albums from Earl Scruggs to Dolly Parton to Randy Travis to George Jones. And then for the last 20 years, a solo career.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. Boy, I wish we had hours to unpack all of that. You recorded probably over 500 albums as a session musician, but it wasn't until you did your solo album that you got your first Grammy with your own name on it, and that was with was it Appalachia Waltz? Is that your first Grammy?
New Nashville Cats.
Oh, okay.
It was about 5 years before Appalachia Waltz.
Oh, okay.
And that was my breakout album, and actually that's what allowed Yo-Yo Ma and Sony Classical to entrust in me to compose and produce for Yo-Yo Ma.
Okay.
Because I was already a musical star. Okay. And I was actually, a lot of people don't realize this, but I was actually selling more albums than Yo-Yo.
That's right.
When we first did Appalachia Waltz. And so Sony was very excited. And, you know, my New Nashville Cats and my Heroes album sold 500,000 copies. And for an instrumental album, that was quite a bit.
Were you just, you know, you were discovered by your first violin teacher, and then I had just read an article recently that Chet Atkins, same thing, he just heard you and called you and said, hey, come out here and play. I don't know how to ask this. Were you just that good? When did you know that you were just the violin and you were the thing?
You know, Chet Atkins loved me as a guitarist, and he invited me to be with him, hang out with him in Nashville. I ended up moving there. That was 1982. And he didn't really put it together how good of a fiddler I was yet. He thought I was going to be the sensational young guitarist that he was going to champion and, you know, and mentor. And I was all for it, too, because I was, at that time, I was equally at home on guitar and on violin. And I didn't know what my role was going to be in Nashville or anyplace else at that time. I mean, I literally had played guitar with Stephan Grappelli, so that was the big time. And it turned out that Chet Atkins had an interesting relationship with the fiddle itself. He sort of scorned it in Nashville. He was actually responsible for what we call the Nashville sound. With Elvis Presley and Patsy Cline and all the and Charlie Pride and all the people that he
produced.
No
more slide guitar, no more violin.
Exactly. You know this story.
Yeah.
And so here I am, a young fiddler that wants to make an impact in Nashville, and I'm being mentored by the guy that erased it from the Nashville sound. And then when he found out my convictions of how I wanted to introduce a new type of violin sound to Nashville, he wished me good luck, but he couldn't really help me. And so I had to sort of leave my mentoring from him to establish my own place in Nashville. It was a very interesting story. I'm going to write probably more about it.
Okay. You're tuned to WDIY Classics on listener-supported community public radio. My name is Waldemar Vanofskis. I'm the host for this edition of Friday Classics. We're visiting with the Grammy Award-winning violinist, fiddler, composer Mark O'Connor, as well as the violinist Kelly Hall Tompkins, one of the most in-demand violinists in New York City and around the country these days, and also the maestro Diane Wittry. We're talking about a pair of concerts coming up this weekend, Saturday, November 10th, 8 o'clock, Sunday the 11th at 3. And more information is at the website, allentownsymphony.org, or you can call the box office, which is
610-432-6715.
6715. The theme of the concert is Americana and American music. And I'm a big fan of American music, and, you know, when you think of American music, maybe the first thing comes to mind is something like, you know, Grand Canyon, Ferdy Groffay, or Leonard Bernstein, or Copland, or Gershwin. I was listening to some of your music earlier this week, thinking about the concert, and when I think of American, I always think big and spacious. I just listened to the end of the Americana Symphony today. The Splendid Horizons. And I just imagine myself in one of these ultralights flying over the Rocky Mountains or through the Smoky Mountains in this sort of, all the spaces are large and it's hopeful. I mean, when you finish, you feel like, yeah, you know, it's not depressing. So that, to me, that large, spacious sound, or even some of the composers who do New York City, it's always big and bustling and energetic. And that's sort of that American sound when I think American. But American isn't just, you know, cowboys and mountains and golden plains. Tell me a little bit about your vision for what makes a piece of music American, or what's your signature or maybe the signature that distinguishes American music from, let's say, French music or English music or something like that.
Well, there's a couple of key ingredients, and I do think that the wide open spaces of the West is something that really nails it for orchestration, because that idea manifested in all the different types of American music is there. It's the spirit, it's the optimism, it's the journey, it's the pursuit of more freedom than we have currently, and it's always been that way. The blues is expansive, jazz has a big message. Rock and roll, how much bigger of a message can you get than that? I mean, the spirit of being a rebel and going against the establishment. I mean,
that's, is that part of why you do what you do?
It drives me. I mean, I've been going against the establishment since I was early on. And I think just the fact that I'm being able to have a career is just magnificent, because I've pushed the buttons. I've pressed the envelope to the extreme. made people think differently about the violin and American music. And it inspires me to do the next project.
I think it's interesting that the idea of open spaces gets identified with American music because that transcends the region of the composer. For example, Aaron Copland obviously comes from Brooklyn, but he's writing with this aesthetic of open spaces. But I think that there's such a broad language of American music. There is no one type of American music from Samuel Barber, you know, all the way to the present. I mean, we have there is a kind of openness and a kind of broad open space feel, but it comes in so many different harmonic packages, so many different rhythmic packages. I find it interesting that there's so much about American music that is natural to American people, but it becomes unnatural when you try to notate it in a Western system. There's a certain idea of American swing and American rhythms. We were just talking about this earlier, that is so natural to us. And as Americans, if you sing it, people can sing it back. If you clap it, they can clap it back. But when you try to put it into Western notation, it has to be, well, actually, it's just very much like European music. Obviously, we're curators of a tradition. And as classical musicians, as musicians in general, but as American musicians, we really have to curate the American feel of music to non-Americans, I guess, in the sense that the notation sometimes falls flat in communicating that spirit of the music.
Kelly, your training is classical, and we talked a little bit about this when Jerry Bidlack was here, that, you know, the classical music tradition is, you know, I always imagine sort of this large score, all the notes are penciled in, everything is right, and you have to count, you know, and just imagine these kids counting every beat, making sure you have every rest, and so on. So much of Mark's music is sort of either jazz or folk influenced. You know, I can remember when I was young, man, we used to go to bluegrass festivals, you know, and so somebody will throw down the melody, and then they just sort of pass it around the fire, you know. And every time it comes around, then somebody takes that melody and makes it into something else. Or jazz will do that. Again, you have the certain, you know, chord progression, and you kind of run with it. As a classically trained musician, since you've been hanging out with Mark, how has that stretched you a little bit to be more free to improvise, or is that
actually? I am the kind of player born in my skin. Already, okay. I am the kind of player that sees the music beyond the printed page. That's just who I am. That's who I was. That's the player I was born in to be in this world. And I have done that with classical music.
So that's why you guys work.
Well, it's a natural synergy, because I'm not the kind of person that was ever limited by what's on the page. And I also consider myself a very far-reaching improviser in the context of what's on the page. I'm the kind of player that's imaginative beyond what's on the page. And I've brought that to classical music my whole life, even as a young student. And other people don't always get that. But audiences, when they hear me, tend to identify with what I see in the music. You know, I've pushed the envelope with teachers all throughout who say, but this, you know, this, there's a dot here. This is, but that's not what the music says. I mean, classical training is the very, 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 very delicate art of knowing what, you know, of having the knowledge of the period, the historical knowledge of the period and the composer and what was intended by the composer, combined with a departure from the confinements of that into what the music is actually saying. And that is who I am as a player. And I brought that as a natural synergy to work with Mark, because this is a new language for me to use that philosophy with. But it is exactly who I am. Okay. So it's
perfect. We're going to listen to a little bit of what you're playing, but I have to ask Diane. Live music is sort of a collaboration. It's a collaboration between the conductor and the composer, between the musicians and the composer, and then you have the audience there in this mix. And so then sometimes you'll bring in a soloist. And so now it's the conductor collaborating with the soloist to allow the soloist to express themselves, and you bring the kind of the orchestra along. I assume that the soloist drives usually.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And so here you have both the soloist is the composer. And so now do you just like sit back and just sort of keep time, or how does that, as a conductor and a director of this orchestra, he knows exactly what he wants it to sound like, and he's soloing. So what is that collaboration like for you?
See, this is a great opportunity, and we rehearsed it last night without Mark and Kelly, and you know, we have some questions, and I'll be meeting with them before we bring them in with the orchestra, but it's so great to actually have the composer here, because then, and the fact that Mark is a performer, because I can say to Mark, how do you want this type of articulation? And he can actually play it for us. And our musicians have great ears, and they're going to hear the style, and they go, oh. And Kelly was exactly right. What's on the page? We can't just play those 16th notes of what's on the page. And yet when Mark, as a composer, writes swing above it with these 16th notes, it's not so much that we're going to swing it in the da-da-da-da-da-da, where we actually change dramatically the rhythm, which is what some composers want when they write swing. But it's more, it's really a feel. It's a style. And this whole concert, it's a tough concert for the orchestra because it is all about style. But the nice thing is that the style is similar in all of these pieces. So Gershwin has some stylistic things that are the same as Bernstein, that are the same as Copland, that are the same as Mark O'Connor. And that's what's really going to make it fun, is once we get into this groove and style. But I think for the orchestra, what's really going to be fun is when they come and they start playing, and we can really lock into that style.
All right. I want to listen just a smidge. We don't have a lot of time left, but I do want to listen to a smidge of Kelly Hall Tompkins. We're also going to listen to a little bit more Mark O'Connor before we finish this hour. We also have tickets to give away. We're talking about the Allentown Symphony's concerts, Americana with Mark O'Connor, this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Do you want to set this up, Fantasy for Violin and Harp?
Yeah, it's a wonderful, rarely performed piece. Saint-Saëns was a composer that favored writing for piano. And later in his career, he discovered the harp, and it allowed him lots of color possibilities that had not yet been explored with piano. And he had long since been a virtuoso violin composer for a lot of our short pieces. And so together, I think it's a really wonderful exploration of the tonal possibilities.
Okay, this is from a collection called In My Own Voice, Kelly Hall Tompkins on violin and...
On a runner's man
on heart. Thank you. That's Kelly Hall Tompkins playing the music of Saint-Saëns. That's the Fantasy for Violin and Harp in A Major, Opus 124. You can hear Kelly Hall Tompkins along with Mark O'Connor this weekend in a pair of concerts at the Allentown Symphony Hall, Saturday and Sunday, November 10th and 11th, 8 o'clock on Saturday night, 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, as well as the Young Musician String Festival, 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. More information, allentownsymphony.org. In the studio with me, the maestro Diane Wittry, along with Kelly Hall Tompkins and the composer and fiddler violinist Mark O'Connor. Mark, I was thinking about this concert, and you just have such a varied career. You have done, like, everything, you know, bluegrass, rock and roll, classical, and you've played with, you know, Yo-Yo Ma, Edgar Meyer, those, you know, all of those things. And I want to say, in a sense, you've defined a genre unto your own, you know, that you don't fit any one of those molds. You are classical, but not really. You are bluegrass, but more than that. And is that something you set out to do, or that's just sort of how it happened? Or is that an accurate characterization?
I set out to be a progressive musician. I remember when I was 14, specifically telling my mother that when I entered the next fiddle championship, I'm not going to play it safe. I'm going to push myself. I'm going to push the harmony and the variations into something that fiddlers had never heard before. I was saying that and doing it when I was 14. So ever since I can remember, I've been the kind of person that wanted to, you know, make a new mark in music, especially for my instrument, the violin. The interesting thing about it is I was doing, I had this little sideline activity called the guitar. And so these things kind of fed each other because the guitar was so quintessential Americana. And I wanted to make a new kind of violin sound as sympathetic to everything American that the guitar represented since the folk boom and rock and roll. And so whether it was rock and rock jazz, bluegrass, fiddling, country music, I mean, I went into Nashville thinking that I could reinvent the fiddle. And it happened, and I was able to, you know, become the Country Music Association Musician of the Year for 6 years in a row, actually beating Chet Atkins' record of 5 years in a row. It's unheard of for a fiddler to have done that in Nashville. And so for the last 20 years, I've taken that same kind of spirit and progressive nature of my music making into composition, composing for various settings, especially orchestra, which I always thought was the place where I could ultimately rest my fiddling. And, you know, according to a lot of naysayers along the way, they said, Mark, you can't do that. Well, I remember telling people when I was 14, Mark, you can't do that and win the fiddle contest. But I did.
You did. Do you ever pick up the guitar?
You know, I quit about 15 years ago because of initially because of physical problems with my arm. But after I recovered from that, I realized I really wanted to spend much more of my time composing, and I didn't have time to keep up practicing two different instruments at the level that I wanted to play them at. So I concentrated on violin and composing.
You're not competitive, are you? Do you play ping pong? We should get together.
That's right, ping pong.
Yeah, that's right. We ought to get together. I guess there's so much I want to talk about. One of the things that makes you special is that you sort of have your own bowing technique. Now, you do things that make it go faster. Now, part of one of the things, you had all these things going, you just wrote a whole curriculum for violin, which...
My method.
In your style, of course, goes totally against the grain of what everybody's done in violin pedagogy for the last 25 years.
I'm flipping a lot of things around. Actually, Kelly was an inspiration in some of my talking points about my method, because the fact that she started at age 9, and there's a lot of people out there that believe that you in order to play the violin well, you have to start at age 3 or 4, which we like. I mean, I was young, and a lot of our students are young. My kids were young, my own kids, when they started learning. But it's not absolutely necessary to start at 3 or 4. So what I'm doing is I'm interjecting the idea of creativity along with violin lessons when you're at the young age. And I think that's going to really catch on.
Do you have a school of teachers? Because what if some kid comes, he pulls out the Mark O'Connor method, he starts practicing, then he goes to his professor, and his professor is pulling out his hair, no, don't play like that. Do you have followers or supporters, or do you? We're gaining.
It's not a method of technique. It's a method of learning.
Which pieces to learn and the improv.
And the style of the music, yeah. the influences of the music being not just European, but okay. being American.
You still learn how to play the violin. I mean, I say to teachers, and this is a real general statement, as a technique is moving your bow up and down and moving your fingers to the right pitches. We're going to be able to do that with the O'Connor method. In addition to that, have all these little creative players that are going to be more, more composers, more improvisers, more band leaders. They're going to be able to play a wide range of music early on. And then by the time they get to the conservatory, they'll be fine.
And also to realize what I was struck by is just how the violin has accompanied American history in ways that we don't learn in history class, that Ben Franklin and, the quote-unquote founding fathers were violinists. And that is a history that has been lost.
Actually, one of the fiddlers that have come to my camp for years since she was 10 years old just won the Naumburg Prize for classical violin. So there's an example of
that was a Naumburg Prize winner too.
there's an example of what can happen when you have just great education in music.
That's awesome, Mark. I wish we could talk for 2 hours, and maybe we will sometime. But for our listeners, where could they go to find out more about your violin method program or find more of your music?
MarkO'Connor.com is the best place. It's a really expansive website. Also, check out my YouTube channel. We got tons of new videos up there.
Okay, great. Kelly, do you have a website?
I do, KellyHallTompkins.com. And also, which discusses a broad range of my activities, but also as a founder of Music Kitchen Food for the Soul, which is an organization that I brought to the homeless. It links directly to that site, musickitchennyc.org.
That's great. More information about the concerts at allentownsymphony.org. The good news for you is if you have time, there's a brown bag lunch in an hour in Allentown. We'll all be there at Allentown Symphony Hall on the stage. Bring a sandwich or a soda. You don't have to have food, but it's kind of fun. People sit around, and you can meet these wonderful people and hear more about the concert and hear more of the music that they're going to be playing. We're going to go out with Americana Symphony. Diane, any final words about the weekend?
Well, I'm just going to say, if you don't know where Symphony Hall is, it's in downtown Allentown. It's 23 North 6th Street. And the brown bag lunch will be from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And also this weekend, we have a very historic announcement that's going to be happening on Saturday night at the concert. So if you can't make the concert on Saturday, check the newspaper the next day because we've got some news.
That's great. That's wonderful. Dan Witchery, Mark O'Connor, Kelly Hall Thompson, we're so thankful that you were here today. And best wishes on the concert this week and on your future careers.
Thank you.
All right. This is from a fairly recent recording. Maren Alsop in the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra performing Mark O'Connor's Americana Symphony. And this is the fourth movement. It's called Open Plains Hoedown. Right here on WDIY. We have tickets to give away, 610-694-8100 extension 1, 610-694-8100 extension 1, if you'd like a pair of tickets either for Saturday or Sunday.